Budget in Parliament. The Constitution refers to the budget as the annual financial statement. In other words, the term budget has nowhere been used in the Constitution. It is the popular name for the annual financial statement that has been dealt with in Article 112 of the Constitution. The budget is a statement of the estimated receipts and expenditure of the Government of India in a financial year, which begins on April 1 and ends on March 31 of the following year. In addition to the estimates of receipts and expenditure, the budget contains certain other elements. Overall, the budget contains the following. 1. Estimates of revenue and capital receipts. 2. Ways and means to raise the revenue. 3. Estimates of expenditure. 4. Details of the actual receipts and expenditure of the closing financial year and the reasons for any deficit or surplus in that year, and 5. Economic and financial policy of the coming year, that is, taxation proposals, prospects of revenue, spending program, and introduction of new schemes/projects. Till 2017, the Government of India had two budgets, namely, the railway budget and the general budget. While the former consisted of the estimates of receipts and expenditures of only the Ministry of Railways, the latter consisted of the estimates of receipts and expenditure of all the ministries of the Government of India, except the railways. The railway budget was separated from the general budget in 1924 on the recommendations of the Ackworth Committee Report, 1921. The reasons or objectives of this separation were as follows. 1. To introduce flexibility in railway finance. 2. To facilitate a business approach to the railway policy. 3. To secure stability of the general revenues by providing an assured annual contribution from railway revenues. 4. To enable the railways to keep their profits for their own development, after paying a fixed annual contribution to the general revenues. In 2017, the central government merged the railway budget into the general budget. Hence, there is now only one budget for the Government of India, i.e., Union Budget. Constitutional Provisions. The Constitution of India contains the following provisions with regard to the enactment of budget. 1. The President shall in respect of every financial year cause to be laid before both the Houses of Parliament a statement of estimated receipts and expenditure of the Government of India for that year. 2. No demand for a grant shall be made except on the recommendation of the President. 3. No money shall be withdrawn from the Consolidated Fund of India except under appropriation made by law. 4. No money bill imposing tax shall be introduced in the Parliament except on the recommendation of the President, and such a bill shall not be introduced in the Rajya Sabha. 5. No tax shall be levied or collected except by authority of law. 6. Parliament can reduce or abolish a tax but cannot increase it. 7. The Constitution has also defined the relative roles or position of both the Houses of Parliament with regard to the enactment of the budget in the following way. A. A money bill or finance bill dealing with taxation cannot be introduced in the Rajya Sabha, it must be introduced only in the Lok Sabha. B. The Rajya Sabha has no power to vote on the demand for grants, it is the exclusive privilege of the Lok Sabha. C. The Rajya Sabha should return the money bill, or finance bill, to the Lok Sabha within 14 days. The Lok Sabha can either accept or reject the recommendations made by Rajya Sabha in this regard. 8. The estimates of expenditure embodied in the budget shall show separately the expenditure charged on the Consolidated Fund of India and the expenditure made from the Consolidated Fund of India. 9. The budget shall distinguish expenditure on revenue account from other expenditure. 10. The expenditure charged on the Consolidated Fund of India shall not be submitted to the vote of Parliament. However, it can be discussed by the Parliament. Charged expenditure. The budget consists of two types of expenditure, the expenditure charged upon the Consolidated Fund of India and the expenditure made from the Consolidated Fund of India. The charged expenditure is non-votable by the Parliament, that is, it can only be discussed by the Parliament, while the other type has to be voted by the Parliament. The list of the charged expenditure is as follows. 1. Emoluments and allowances of the President and other expenditure relating to his office. 2. Salaries and allowances of the chairman and the deputy chairman of the Rajya Sabha and the speaker and the deputy speaker of the Lok Sabha. 3. Salaries, allowances, and pensions of the judges of the Supreme Court. 4. Pensions of the judges of high courts. 5. Salary, allowances, and pension of the Controller and Auditor General of India. 6. Salaries, allowances, and pension of the chairman and members of the Union Public Service Commission. 7. Administrative expenses of the Supreme Court, the Office of the Controller and Auditor General of India and the Union Public Service Commission, including the salaries, allowances, and pensions of the persons serving in these offices. 8. The debt charges for which the Government of India is liable, including interest, sinking fund charges and redemption charges and other expenditure relating to the raising of loans and the service and redemption of debt. 9. Any sum required to satisfy any judgment, decree or award of any court or arbitral tribunal. 10. Any other expenditure declared by the Parliament to be so charged. Stages in enactment. The budget goes through the following 6 stages in the Parliament. 1. Presentation of budget. 2. General discussion. 3. Scrutiny by departmental committees. 4. Voting on demands for grants. 5. Passing of appropriation bill. 6. Passing of finance bill. 1. Presentation of budget. Conventionally, the budget is presented to the Lok Sabha by the finance minister on the last working day of February. Since 2017, the presentation of the budget has been advanced to 1st of February. The budget can also be presented to the House in 2 or more parts, and when such presentation takes place, each part shall be dealt with as if it were the budget. Further, there shall be no discussion of the budget on the day on which it is presented to the House. The Finance Minister presents the budget with a speech known as the budget speech. At the end of the speech in the Lok Sabha, the budget is laid before the Rajya Sabha, which can only discuss it and has no power to vote on the demands for grants. The budget documents presented to the Parliament comprise of the following. I. Budget speech. 2. Annual financial statement. 3. Demands for grants. 4. Appropriation bill. V. Finance bill. 6. Statements mandated under the FRBM Act. A. Macroeconomic Framework Statement. B. Fiscal Policy Strategy Statement. C. Medium-Term Fiscal Policy Statement. 7. Expenditure Budget. 8. Receipts Budget. 9. Expenditure Profile. X. Memorandum Explaining the Provisions in the Finance Bill. 11. Budget at a Glance. 12. Outcome budget. Earlier, the economic survey also used to be presented to the Parliament along with the budget. Now, it is presented one day or a few days before the presentation of the budget. This report is prepared by the Finance Ministry and indicates the status of the national economy. 2. General discussion. The general discussion on budget begins a few days after its presentation. It takes place in both the Houses of Parliament and lasts usually for 3 to 4 days. During this stage, the Lok Sabha can discuss the budget as a whole or on any question of principle involved therein, but no cut motion can be moved nor can the budget be submitted to the vote of the House. The Finance Minister has a general right of reply at the end of the discussion. 3. Scrutiny by departmental committees. After the general discussion on the budget is over, the Houses are adjourned for about 3 to 4 weeks. During this gap period, the 24 departmental standing committees of Parliament examine and discuss in detail the demands for grants of the concerned ministers and prepare reports on them. These reports are submitted to both the Houses of Parliament for consideration. The standing committee system established in 1993, and expanded in 2004, makes parliamentary financial control over ministries much more detailed, close, in-depth and comprehensive. 4. Voting on demands for grants. In the light of the reports of the departmental standing committees, the Lok Sabha takes up voting of demands for grants. The demands are presented ministry-wise. A demand becomes a grant after it has been duly voted. Two points should be noted in this context. 1. The voting of demands for grants is the exclusive privilege of the Lok Sabha, that is, the Rajya Sabha has no power of voting the demands. 2. The voting is confined to the votable part of the budget, the expenditure charged on the Consolidated Fund of India is not submitted to the vote, it can only be discussed. Each demand is voted separately by the Lok Sabha. During this stage, the members of Parliament can discuss the details of the budget. They can also move motions to reduce any demand for grant. Such motions are called as cut motion, which are of three kinds. A. Policy cut motion. It represents the disapproval of the policy underlying the demand. It states that the amount of the demand be reduced to 1 rupee. The members can also advocate an alternative policy. B. Economy cut motion. It represents the economy that can be affected in the proposed expenditure. It states that the amount of the demand be reduced by a specified amount, which may be either a lump sum reduction in the demand or omission or reduction of an item in the demand. C. Token cut motion. It ventilates a specific grievance that is within the sphere of responsibility of the Government of India. It states that the amount of the demand be reduced by 100 Indian rupees. A cut motion, to be admissible, must satisfy the following conditions. I. It should relate to one demand only. 2. It should be clearly expressed and should not contain arguments or defamatory statements. 3. It should be confined to one specific matter. 4. It should not make suggestions for the amendment or repeal of existing laws. V. It should not refer to a matter that is not primarily the concern of Union Government. 6. It should not relate to the expenditure charged on the Consolidated Fund of India. 7. It should not relate to a matter that is under adjudication by a court. 8. It should not raise a question of privilege. 9. It should not revive discussion on a matter on which a decision has been taken in the same session. X. It should not relate to a trivial matter. 11. It should not reflect on the character or conduct of any person whose conduct can only be challenged on a substantive motion. 12. It should not anticipate a matter which has been previously appointed for consideration in the same session. 13. It should not seek to raise a discussion on a matter pending before any statutory tribunal or statutory authority performing judicial or quasi-judicial functions or any commission or court of inquiry. The significance of a cut motion lies in, A. facilitating the initiation of concentrated discussion on a specific demand for grant, and, B. upholding the principle of responsible government by probing the activities of the government. However, the cut motion do not have much utility in practice. They are only moved and discussed in the House but not passed as the government enjoys majority support. Their passage by the Lok Sabha amounts to the expressions of want of parliamentary confidence in the government and may lead to its resignation. On the last day of the days allotted for discussion and voting on the demands for grants, the Speaker puts all the remaining demands to vote and disposes them whether they have been discussed by the members or not. This is known as guillotine. 5. Passing of Appropriation Bill. The Constitution states that no money shall be withdrawn from the Consolidated Fund of India except under appropriation made by law. Accordingly, an appropriation bill is introduced to provide for the appropriation, out of the Consolidated Fund of India, all money required to meet. A. The grants voted by the Lok Sabha. B. The expenditure charged on the Consolidated Fund of India. No such amendment can be proposed to the appropriation bill in either House of the Parliament that will have the effect of varying the amount or altering the destination of any grant voted, or of varying the amount of any expenditure charged on the Consolidated Fund of India. The appropriation bill becomes the Appropriation Act after it is assented to by the President. This act authorizes, or legalizes, the payments from the Consolidated Fund of India. This means that the government cannot withdraw money from the Consolidated Fund of India till the enactment of the appropriation bill. This takes time and usually goes on till the end of April. But the government needs money to carry on its normal activities after March 31, the end of the financial year. To overcome this functional difficulty, the Constitution has authorized the Lok Sabha to make any grant in advance in respect to the estimated expenditure for a part of the financial year, pending the completion of the voting of the demands for grants and the enactment of the appropriation bill. This provision is known as the vote on account. It is passed, or granted, after the general discussion on budget is over. It is generally granted for 2 months for an amount equivalent to 1/6 of the total estimation. 6. Passing of Finance Bill. The Finance Bill is introduced to give effect to the financial proposals of the Government of India for the following year. It is subjected to all the conditions applicable to a money bill. Unlike the Appropriation Bill, the amendments, seeking to reject or reduce a tax, can be moved in the case of Finance Bill. According to the Provisional Collection of Taxes Act of 1931, the Finance Bill must be enacted, i.e., passed by the Parliament and assented to by the President, within 75 days. The Finance Act legalizes the income side of the budget and completes the process of the enactment of the budget. Other grants. In addition to the budget that contains the ordinary estimates of income and expenditure for one financial year, various other grants are made by the Parliament under extraordinary or special circumstances. Supplementary grant. It is granted when the amount authorized by the Parliament through the Appropriation Act for a particular service for the current financial year is found to be insufficient for that year. Additional grant. It is granted when a need has arisen during the current financial year for additional expenditure upon some new service not contemplated in the budget for that year. Excess grant. It is granted when money has been spent on any service during a financial year in excess of the amount granted for that service in the budget for that year. It is voted by the Lok Sabha after the financial year. Before the demands for excess grants are submitted to the Lok Sabha for voting, they must be approved by the Public Accounts Committee of Parliament. Vote of credit. It is granted for meeting an unexpected demand upon the resources of India, when on account of the magnitude or the indefinite character of the service, the demand cannot be stated with the details ordinarily given in a budget. Hence, it is like a blank check given to the executive by the Lok Sabha. Exceptional grant. It is granted for a special purpose and forms no part of the current service of any financial year. Token grant. It is granted when funds to meet the proposed expenditure on a new service can be made available by reappropriation. A demand for the grant of a token sum, of 1 rupee, is submitted to the vote of the Lok Sabha and if assented, funds are made available. Reappropriation involves transfer of funds from one head to another. It does not involve any additional expenditure. Supplementary, additional, excess, and exceptional grants and vote of credit are regulated by the same procedure which is applicable in the case of a regular budget. Funds. The Constitution of India provides for the following 3 kinds of funds for the central government. 1. Consolidated Fund of India, Article 266. 2. Public Account of India, Article 266. 3. Contingency Fund of India, Article 267. Consolidated Fund of India. It is a fund to which all receipts are credited and all payments are debited. In other words, A. All revenues received by the Government of India, B. All loans raised by the government by the issue of treasury bills, loans, or ways and means of advances, and C. All money received by the government in repayment of loans forms the Consolidated Fund of India. All the legally authorized payments on behalf of the Government of India are made out of this fund. No money out of this fund can be appropriated, issued or drawn, except in accordance with the parliamentary law. Public Account of India. All other public money, other than those which are credited to the Consolidated Fund of India, received by or on behalf of the Government of India shall be credited to the Public Account of India. This includes Provident Fund deposits, judicial deposits, savings bank deposits, departmental deposits, remittances and so on. This account is operated by executive action, that is, the payments from this account can be made without parliamentary appropriation. Such payments are mostly in the nature of banking transactions. Contingency Fund of India. The Constitution authorized the Parliament to establish a Contingency Fund of India, into which amounts determined by law are paid from time to time. Accordingly, the Parliament enacted the Contingency Fund of India Act in 1950. This fund is placed at the disposal of the President, and he can make advances out of it to meet unforeseen expenditure pending its authorization by the Parliament. The fund is held by the Finance Secretary on behalf of the President. Like the Public Account of India, it is also operated by executive action.